Good day, everybody. This is episode 37 of the podcast Then and Now. I'm your host, John Shomo. Before we get into our usual lead-off segment of facts and current events and going down the history of the dates, etc., we're going to recap the election that happened just a couple of days ago, as I record this on Thursday morning. It's hard to believe, by me, that a convicted felon and adjudicated rapist was just elected president for the second time. I will not ever be able to get over that. I'll never understand that. But it is what it is. Is question in my mind is there any way that a woman can win a presidential election in this country? Now, I understand that 8 years ago, Hillary Clinton was a flawed candidate with her own baggage and legal issues that abounded. I get it. Vice President Harris doesn't carry that kind of baggage. I think most impartial observers would agree that she pretty much cleaned Donald Trump's clock in their only debate. That evidently doesn't matter. Mr. Trump will become only the second person to serve non-consecutive terms as president. He would join Grover Cleveland in that distinction. As of this recording, the Senate, U.S. Senate, will be majority Republican by 52-48, maybe. The House is still not settled. There are a couple of dozen races out there, out west particularly, that have yet to be decided and called. It was hard for me to believe that there were roughly 15 million less voters, votes cast, if you will, than in 2020. 15 million more of us voted during a pandemic than voted this week. I that's hard for me to understand. One thing that I and many others, I think, missed is the Latino vote, particularly among men. After the shameful comments that we discussed last week that happened at the Trump rally at Madison Square Garden about a week and a half ago, Trump carried Latino men on Tuesday, according to the exit polling. I know there's some cultural reasons for that, but still that kind of amazes me, really. Locally speaking, here in Northeast Ohio, particularly Summit County, the Democrats did quite well. There were Summit County Council, state legislature, U.S. House races here that were won by Democrats. Congratulations also go out to the Talmadge and Akron and Cuyahoga Falls city school districts on passing their levies this week. In my view, in my reading of all of this, in our country, the urban versus rural divide is as large as it's ever been, politically speaking. If you look at some of the maps of states like Ohio and Illinois, and there are others, the urban areas go pretty substantially for the Democrats, and rural areas are as red can be. That's probably not healthy for us as a country, but it's where we are. And I think we need to realize that, and maybe, you know, there needs to be some discussion of how we can, you know, smooth out the rough edges there, I think, for lack of a better term. That's really stark and quite amazing if you analyze the data. So there we go. There's my election recap for this week, and on we move. Okay, moving to brighter and better things, in my view. Our birthdays, etc., anniversaries, current events, historical happenings for the week of November 8th through the 14th. First of all, for November 8th, on that date in 1889, Montana became the 41st state of the Union. In 1942, Operation Torch, the first ever invasion of the U.S. forces during World War II, took place as U.S. and United Kingdom forces invaded North Africa to try to kick the Germans out of North Africa. That was November 8, 1942. Elections on November 8th, that would be the final day of November. That would be an election day, first Tuesday after the first Monday in November. Franklin Roosevelt won for the first time in 1932 over President Herbert Hoover. John F. Kennedy won his election in 1960 over Richard Nixon. George H.W. Bush defeated Michael Dukakis in 1988. Donald Trump defeated Hillary Clinton in the aforementioned election of 2016. Katharine Hepburn, born on November 8, 1907, one of America's and one of the world's greatest actors. Bonnie Raitt, musician, really fine musician, 75 years old. ABC News anchorman David Muir will be 51. And Giancarlo Stanton of the American League champion New York Yankees had a great postseason, unfortunately for Guardians fans. Giancarlo Stanton will be 35. Moving to November 9th, the first issue of Rolling Stone magazine was published on that date in 1967. The cover photo was a black and white photo of John Lennon dressed as a World War I soldier. He was acting in Spain in a movie that was known as, I think it was called How I Won the War. The Berlin Wall opened on November 9, 1989. That was a major event in world history. I was student teaching at that point in time at Talmadge High School, and I dropped everything that I had planned for that day to discuss the importance of the Berlin Wall falling, if you will. And I kind of made that a hallmark of my teaching career, I think. You got to talk about very important historical facts and happenings when they happen. You can't just, I think, slavishly stick to the lesson plan. I certainly didn't do that, and I wouldn't change it. I wouldn't do it any other way. Okay, other events. November 9th, 2002, a very famous win for the Ohio State Buckeyes at West Lafayette, Indiana. The Holy Buckeye game, where the Buckeyes trailed 6-3 with less than 2 minutes to go. It was fourth down near midfield, and Craig Krenzel took a shot down the field. Michael Jenkins was at the other end. He gathered it in for a touchdown, and Brett Musburger very famously said, "Holy Buckeye," when that happened. Ohio State won the game and went on to win the national championship, which wouldn't have happened if it weren't for that play. In other less bright college football happenings, Joe Paterno, the longtime Penn State coaching legend, was fired on November 9, 2011, after it turned out to be true that allegations of sexual abuse on campus by his defensive coordinator, Jerry Sandusky, that Paterno, you know, kind of whitewashed and overlooked and didn't do anything about. He was fired. He was already in his 80s when he was fired, still coaching. He died less than 3 months later. Birthdays on November 9th. Vice President Spiro Agnew, Richard Nixon's first vice president, born November 9th, 1918. Spiro Agnew resigned in the fall of 1973 because the FBI had him on bribery charges. And in a plea bargain, he resigned the vice presidency. Hall of Fame pitcher, the late St. Louis Cardinals great Bob Gibson, who I saw pitch a no-hitter in person in 1971. Bob Gibson, born November 9th, 1935. And a guy that I want to salute here, our Senator, Ohio's Sherrod Brown, will be 71 on November 9th. Senator Brown lost this week in his attempt for a fourth term in the U.S. Senate. There have not been very many people who have represented the state of Ohio better in his lifetime, in my opinion. He has done what is right for the majority of people. He has always fought for the little guy, a very admirable guy. What a career. One of the greatest public servants, I think, in Ohio history. And in my view, it's a shame that he will no longer be serving us. But happy birthday, Sherrod. On November 10th, the U.S. Marine Corps established on November 10th, 1775. Semper Fi. Area codes were first introduced for telephones on November 10th, 1951. The first ever episode of Sesame Street on public television aired on November 10th, 1969. The ship, the Edmund Fitzgerald, sank in a storm on Lake Superior on November 10th, 1975. That event was memorialized in a very famous Gordon Lightfoot song, The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald. Microsoft introduced Windows. You talk about an invention that's changed a lot of things. Microsoft Windows introduced, on that date in 1983. Birthdays include Martin Luther, who started the Protestant movement in Germany, in what is now Germany. Martin Luther, born on November 10th, 1483. Dallas Cowboys head coach, I think he's still head coach as of this recording, Mike McCarthy will be 61. He won a Super Bowl with the Green Bay Packers, if you may remember, in 2010. Miranda Lambert, singer, is 41. And actor Taron Egerton, who, among very many other roles that he's played quite nicely, he was terrific as Elton John in the movie Rocket Man. Taron Egerton is 35. Moving to November 11th. November 11th is Veterans Day. Salute to all of our veterans, all of those who have served. November 11th is Veterans Day because it was Armistice Day, the end of warlike happenings, if you will. The ceasefire in Europe to end World War I happened on November 11th, 1918. Stanford University in Palo Alto, California, founded on November 11th, 1885. Washington became the 42nd state in the Union on November 11th, 1889. Birthdays include the bombastic, interesting, fiery General George S. Patton. I've run out of adjectives. George S. Patton, born November 11th, 1885. Patton was unique. He was a bulldog. He was often wrong in some decisions that he made at a personnel level. But he was very instrumental in winning the war in Europe, too. Let's give him credit for that. Hall of Fame third baseman for the Pittsburgh Pirates, Pi Trainer, born November 11th, 1898. Former Ohio Governor Richard Celeste will be 87. He was governor in the 1990s. 1979 Masters champion Fuzzy Zeller will be 73. Actress Demi Moore will be 62. And actor Leonardo DiCaprio will turn 50 on November 11th. That's probably a little shocking for some of you. November 12th, Elizabeth Cady Stanton, who was very instrumental in women being allowed the vote, born November 12th, 1815. Princess Grace Kelly, the actress from Philadelphia who became a princess, the Princess of Monaco. Grace Kelly, born November 12th, 1929. Al Michaels, who has announced just about everything there is to announce in terms of televised and radio sports. Al Michaels will be 80 on November 12th, still working on the Amazon Prime Thursday night NFL telecast, by the way. Singer, songwriter, great from Canada, Neil Young will be 79. Actor Ryan Gosling will be 44. Actress Anne Hathaway will be 42. The 2015 PGA champion lived for a while. He may still have a home in Westerville, Ohio. Jason Day will be 37, originally from Australia. And 2017 NBA Most Valuable Player Russell Westbrook will be 36. On November 13th, the United States Supreme Court ended legal segregation on public buses. On November 13th, 1956. That was partially as a result, I believe, of the Rosa Parks arrest and subsequent protests in Alabama. The final football game at the Akron Rubber Bowl, which is no longer there, folks. I still drive by it once in a while, and it's just weird to see a hole in the ground where the Rubber Bowl used to be. The final football game at the Rubber Bowl, I was there, was played on November 13th, 2008. It was an important game in the Mid-American Conference race. Buffalo defeated Akron 43-40 in four overtimes. Basically, that game won Buffalo the MAC East title. It was between Buffalo and Akron, and it was a tight, tense, crazy game. They finally won in four overtimes. Actress Whoopi Goldberg and host of The View, co-host of The View, is 73. 1986 Heisman Trophy winner from Miami University in Florida, Vinny Testaverde will be 61, former quarterback of the Browns for a while. Jimmy Kimmel, host of the late night show on ABC, will be 57. And happy birthday to my nephew Glenn down in Wilmington, North Carolina. He'll be 35. Where does the time go? Happy birthday, Glenn. Finally, this week, on November 14th, Theodore Roosevelt became the first U.S. president to leave the country during his term of office. Theodore Roosevelt was the first U.S. president to do a heck of a lot of things. Let's just put that out there right now. Most fascinating guy in American history, in my view. He traveled to Panama on November 14, 1906, to oversee how the canal was coming along. So that's one of TR's many firsts. The BBC, the British Broadcasting Company, began radio broadcasts on November 14, 1922. Apollo 12, the second manned moon landing, launched on November 14, 1969. Pete Conrad and Alan Bean became the third and fourth people to walk on the moon on that flight. On a very tragic note, 75 members of the Marshall University football traveling group were killed in a plane crash after their game at East Carolina, returning to Huntington on November 14, 1970. The plane went down in bad weather near the Huntington airport. All 75 aboard were killed. That's one of the great tragedies, certainly in college football history, and for all of those families, just unimaginable. Mr. Nehru, I have a problem for pronouncing his first name. Nehru, the first Prime Minister of India, born November 14, 1889. The Nehru jacket was named after him. First Lady Mamie Eisenhower, great lady, born November 14, 1896. Senator Joseph McCarthy, not a great guy, born November 14, 1909. The King of England, Charles III, will celebrate his 76th birthday on November 14th. Former Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice will be 70. Former pitcher, great pitcher, a Hall of Fame question for sure. A good debate can be had over whether or not Curt Schilling should be in the Hall of Fame. Curt Schilling will be 58. And the 2020 Heisman Trophy winner from the University of Alabama, Devontae Smith, now with the Philadelphia Eagles, he'll be 26 on November 14th. That'll do it for our facts of the week, if you will. A couple more things I want to touch on before we get to our three good questions segment, and that's a good segment today. Congratulations to the Los Angeles Dodgers for winning the World Series. Game 5 of the World Series was one of the wildest, wackiest games in any World Series in a long time. The fifth inning is one for the ages. The Yankees in Yankee Stadium, holding a 5-0 lead with their ace on the mound, Gerrit Cole, played the fifth inning like a bad freshman team. Those of you who watch know what I'm talking about. It was three just egregious mistakes that kept the inning going for the Dodgers, and then they got two big hits, one from Freddie Freeman and one from Teoscar Hernandez, that tied the game. The Yankees went ahead 6-5, but the Dodgers came back, scored a couple more runs, and in a bullpen game, won the World Series championship at Yankee Stadium. That fifth inning, though, that's I still have a hard time believing. I can't believe I saw what I saw. Australia, I just saw this on my phone this morning. Australia is planning to ban children under 16 from using social media. What are your thoughts on that? Let me know at threegoodquestions@gmail.com. That's three, T-H-R-E-E, goodquestions@gmail.com. Again, Australia is planning to ban children under 16 from using social media in any way. What are your thoughts there? That's a very interesting idea. I have to think about that for a while myself. Before we get into the three good questions segment today, I want to pitch an upcoming podcast that I have planned. I've talked about it a little bit. In a couple of weeks, I will do a special edition on the Kennedy assassination, the assassination of President Kennedy in November of 1963. What I remember as a young kid, what I've learned since, and some surprising things that have made me question my belief in what happened that I've learned in the last 12 months. So again, look for that out upcoming here in later in November, a podcast on my views and what happened in the President Kennedy's assassination. All right, moving to three good questions. Let's answer the questions last week that were sent in by Jeff Cole. Question number one was, in the 1965 NFL draft, Da Bears selected Gale Sayers of Kansas with the fourth overall pick. Which Hall of Famer was selected third? In other words, the pick right before the Bears selected Gale Sayers. The answer is the Bears, on a trade, got a draft pick from Pittsburgh and picked Illinois linebacker Dick Butkus with the third selection in the 1965 draft. Now, let's consider that for a moment. The Bears had the probably best defensive player in a decade and a running back that was one of the finest in NFL history, as rookies in 1965. They played together for six seasons. Gail Sayers' career was cut short by a pretty bad knee injury that he suffered. Butkus played for a while longer. Neither of them ever played in a single NFL playoff game. The Bears, in spite of having those two guys anchoring their offense and defense, could never get into the playoffs. That's just quite astonishing. Question number two was, what company was initially known as Blue Ribbon Sports? The answer to that question is Nike. That was the first name Phil Knight came up with. Question number three, who led the NCAA in rushing in 1964, yet went undrafted in a 20-round NFL draft? The NCAA rushing leader in 1964 was Brian Piccolo out of Wake Forest. He was drafted by the Chicago Bears, and very famously and sadly contracted cancer and passed away during his career. The movie was made, made-for-TV movie, Brian's Song, was made, and I still shed a tear over that. Okay, there's our three good questions from last week. Thank you, Jeff. This week, we have three good questions from my golf buddy, Bill Zirke. Here they are. Number one, what if JFK had lived? How would he have proceeded? His policies, etc. Always a fascinating question to historians. I do believe he would have been reelected in 1964. And from all I've read, and it's very confusing, and historians debate it, but from all I've read and studied, if the Vietnam War had not, if our situation, let's put it this way, in Vietnam had not improved by the time he had won re-election in the 1964 election, he would have withdrawn American troops from Vietnam. That's where he was headed. He didn't want to do it prior to the election, right or wrong. That was his view. And after he won a re-election and didn't face that pressure anymore, if the situation hadn't improved, and it almost certainly would not have improved, then he probably would have withdrawn us from the Vietnam conflict as a combatant. And how many lives, American lives, would that have saved? Okay, question number two. Would the Vietnam War have escalated the way it did under President Johnson? I think I just answered that one in my answer to question number one. No, he would not have escalated the war like Lyndon Johnson did. Lyndon Johnson, I always have thought that was the Texan in him, that when he took over and won, you know, sadly took over as a result of the assassination and won an overwhelming victory in 1964. He just had that view that I'm not going to be the son of a bitch, quote unquote, who lost a war. And he gradually increased the number of American troops over there. And it was a debacle. It was the 800-pound gorilla that did him in. He had so many successes as president, so many landmark legislative victories and programs that increased the quality of life for Americans. He could have been one of the great presidents of all time. But again, his bungling, if you will, for lack of a better term, of the Vietnam War, I think has cost him greatly in the eyes of most historians. Question number three from Mr. Zirke. Do you think Aristotle Onassis could have had anything to do with the Kennedy assassination? Now, that's not as crazy as you might think. Aristotle Onassis and Jackie Kennedy had known each other prior to President Kennedy's assassination. She very famously, in 1963, just a couple of months before he was killed, had taken a vacation over there in Greece and went on one of his sailboats. I'm not inferring that anything happened there with, that you might be thinking about right now. I'm not going to come down on any side of that. I never have thought of that one time. It was a real surprise to most Americans when Jackie Kennedy married Aristotle Onassis in the fall of 1968. But did he have anything to do with the assassination of President Kennedy? I have not seen, let's put it this way, I have not seen anything that would indicate that he did. That would be a juicy, over the last, 60 years that it's been now, that would have been a very juicy little tidbit for an author to run with, wouldn't it? if there had been any shred of evidence that that had happened. I really can't say that I think that Aristotle Onassis had anything to do whatsoever with President Kennedy's untimely death. But that's a really cool question. Thanks, Bill, for those questions. Appreciate it. If you would like to send in a question or two or three to our Three Good Questions segment, please feel free to do so. The email address is 3threegoodquestions@gmail.com. Let me pitch our other podcast here, if you will. It usually comes out Sunday night, Monday morning-ish. It's a college football podcast called The Fifth Quarter. And as we approach the end of the regular season here, as I speak, there are four more weeks left in the regular season in college football. We have a new era of a 12-team playoff instead of the 4-team playoff we've had for the last decade. The 12-team rankings were released by the College Football Playoff Committee this past week. They contained a couple of surprises, I thought. Not a surprise that Oregon was one and Ohio State was two. But if you want more discussion about that sport that drives us all crazy sometimes, tune in to The Fifth Quarter. You can get it wherever you get this podcast, on Spotify, actually. So that'll do it for this week. A very busy, historic, mixed up week for many of us. But that'll do it for the week of November 8th through 14th. Thanks for choosing us out there in the podcastosphere, as I always say. I'm very appreciative of those of you who have chosen to listen to the podcast. It's humbling to get feedback from you guys. I thank you very much. This is John Shomo. This has been episode 37 of Then and Now. Have a good week, everybody. Take care of yourselves. Bye-bye.